Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And in today's podcast, we are still in the holiday season. So we are going to be continuing on this train. And today we're going to be talking about focusing on maintenance versus like new goals and setting yourself up for success in that way. Laura, how do you kind of navigate through the holidays? Do you tend to try to have new, I know like for me right now, I've got new goals just because I was like, I don't want to wait till the new year. I just want to get going. But do you personally focus just more on maintenance for the holiday season, or do you try to like still obtain new goals during this time?
I probably just try to maintain.
Maintain, yeah.
There's been holiday seasons where I have had a goal that has carried through the holidays. But I kind of get into the mindset of like, I know that I probably am going to be eating more at times. So it's not something that, you know, when it comes to if I was on a plan, like a very clear program, that would be different. But since I'm not right now, since I'm just maintaining as it is, that's just kind of the goal that I have.
Yeah. And how do you feel about, how do you feel about the idea of people just focusing on maintenance? Because guys, just in case you missed our podcast from last week, we were talking about eating and navigating through the holidays, where we're talking about the all or nothing mentality. Okay. So If you don't know what we're talking about there, make sure that you go back and listen to last week's podcast, because that's going to really help you understand from a maintenance standpoint, this question, which is, you know, how do you feel about people that kind of decide like, okay, I'm going to try to maintain, but then they go and they are just like, you know, they have that all or nothing mentality and they're just like, oh, well, like, you know, I totally
I'll start on January 1. Like,
exactly. So what do you say to clients when they kind of approach you on that level?
Well, I think because really when it boils down to it, right? Like when it comes to weight loss or like having maintenance or whatever it is, it's about consistency. Like that's the main thing. It's about not starting and stopping these programs. It's about making choices and changes. And like, I find it sounds so boring though when you say that. Like everyone, of course, I gotta make choices and changes. Like everyone's like, wah, wah. Like I want the magic pill. You know, I would love it if there was just a magic pill to be healthy. But it's about changing your lifestyle, right? Like, so I think it's very easy. And in that last podcast, we were talking about the all or nothing mentality. I think it's so easy to just to like, think of your fitness and think of your nutrition programming as something you're on. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I'm on a fitness program. I'm on this healthy eating.
Like, I'm doing this for this time being.
Yeah. Like I'm going to get off it at some point. Like,
yeah,
you've got it completely. Once you start this journey, realize this is the new you. This is your new journey. Like you're no longer on a program, off a program. You might be more strict at times because you have a goal. So you might be like, I'm actually on, like my focus right now is serious, like weight loss. And I'm more focused and I'm really more focused on my food and my workouts, whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that once you reach your goal, you stop, right? It just shifts depending on the point, like for maintenance or what's going on in your life. So it's like, I think that that's a huge thing is getting out of that mindset of being like, I'm on a program and realizing like, this is your life now. It doesn't matter if the holidays happen. It doesn't matter if birthdays happen. It doesn't matter if you're going to Mexico. It doesn't matter what it is. It's still a part of your life. And that's why for me, like, I actually did a video not long ago about this. I don't know if it's out yet, but talking about the whole idea of like seeing yourself as a fit chick, like the mindset of a fit person. And that's something that, you know, you have to adapt. And throughout the holidays, I think it becomes like, you've got to remember that who you are is someone who doesn't skip their workouts. Like who you are is someone who's active. And that's the hardest thing for someone who's first getting on a program to do is because you can't see yourself like that, right? Like you can't, it's really hard to see yourself as an active person because you're like, I've never been active my whole life. I'm overweight. I've never been to a gym or whatever it is. It's so hard. But once you start to see yourself as that, you become it, right?
Exactly.
You become it.
And then, I mean, I think that that's a really It's a really important thing to understand. And going back to what you were saying, like one of my first points in terms of like how to focus on maintenance, because people always say like, oh, you've got to just do maintenance. You got to do maintenance like over the holidays. But like, well, what does that even mean? Like maintenance, like how do you even focus on maintenance? Like what do I have to do? So one of my first tips was what you said, which is remembering that this is a lifestyle change. It's not a diet. Like this is, and yes, like you said, there might be times that you're more strict. Like me for now, like right now, I'm actually on a plan that is putting me into a calorie deficit. I'm eating differently. I'm following a different plan, but I have a very specific goal in mind. But I don't plan on sticking, like I don't like the plan I'm on right now. I like it for what it's doing, but I don't like the style because I don't like eating six small meals a day. We were just talking offline before we went live here today. And I was saying like, I'm sucking at it because I can't even get all six meals in because I'm so full. Like I don't even want to eat six meals. I don't like eating that much throughout the day. And so I'm finding it a struggle in that sense, but it's like, I know I can do it for a short period of time or for a period of time, but then when I get to maintenance, it's like I have to shift my mindset. So it's not just like I'm doing this for a period of time, this plan that has a goal, and then to maintain, I'm just going to go back to my old habits, my old ways. No, I'm going to stick to a similar routine. I'm just going to like fix it or change some things like slightly. So instead of eating six meals a day, I'm going to eat just like three times a day. I'm going to just put things together. I'm going to do it so that it's something that can fit in my lifestyle and make it with ease, as opposed to feeling like it's like, oh my gosh, I have to do all of these things and I don't feel comfortable and it's not who I want to be or it's not what I like to do. And then therefore it feels like a chore constantly. Like right now it kind of feels like a chore in my life, but it's towards a goal. But when you're doing maintenance, it shouldn't feel like a chore. It should feel like this is how I live, right?
Completely. And I always think about too, like we can't, this is kind of around the holidays and kind of not, but like I always remember, I think I talked about this once before, I remember seeing this Instagram post, and it was from Melissa Hartwig from The Whole 30. And she was talking about the whole concept of you can't focus on more than three things at the same time.
Yeah.
So like she's like, I'm focusing on my relationship. I'm focusing on my business and I'm focusing on my workouts. So that means that her friends right now, you know, aren't in her top three. Doesn't mean they're not going to move back in the top three at some point, but right now they're not in the top three, or her love travel or her dog or whatever it is. Right. And then it would switch. So then at times she'd be focusing like on her friends and her family and her business. So her workouts were kind of suffering. So it was the whole idea of like this mentality of like, it's very hard to focus on more and really like really give, not saying that they completely go to the wayside, but they don't get as much attention. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like when it comes to, you know, right now where you're at, that's in your top three and you're like, I need some, like, I'm just following this plan because also my mental bandwidth can't think of doing, you know what I mean? Like changing and having this as a lifestyle yet. I'm just following this plan, reaching my goal, transitioning into maintenance. That is exactly a doable lifestyle for a period of time.
Yeah.
So, and like, not everyone does it that way. Obviously some people right away, they like want it to feel more enjoyable. Some people are just like, I don't like, not saying that it's not enjoyable, but you know what I mean? You're just like,
It's not easy though. That's the thing. It's not that it's not enjoyable. It's just that it's not easy. It's something that's outside of my regular routine. So I'm not in maintenance phase right now. I'm in a goal setting phase. Like it's different, right? But when you're in maintenance phase, it's like, I feel like it should be still work, but not hard. Like, it's still part of like your top three, or at least it's number four. Like, it's up there in your priorities. It has to stay up there. And it has to be something though that comes to you with a little bit more ease than maybe if you're doing a weight loss program, that might feel like a lot more work, a lot more effort. But when you get to maintenance phase, it should feel like something that's just a little bit more natural because you're like, you make it work with your lifestyle, but it doesn't mean that you make it work with your lifestyle being like, oh, well then I'm just going to like, you know, go all out and eat whatever I want and all of a sudden go back to my old habits.
And I think one thing for a lot of people, and for us, it's a bit different because, you know, we've been doing this for a long period of time, but a lot of people, you don't even understand how your own body works, right? Like how it reacts to stuff. And that's why we're super big on like, you know, with our certification programs, I truly believe every woman should take these programs. I truly believe like every woman should take the Fitness Nutrition Expert and Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss, because you've got to educate yourself to understand how your body actually works and also understand how your body works in regards to how many calories your body needs, how much, how you respond to certain foods and all like things like that. Because it's very easy to be in maintenance when you have an understanding of how much your body needs, because a lot of people, they don't even know that. So like, you know, even if you're somebody who tracks, so like, let's say, for example, I said this in a past podcast a couple weeks ago, Sarah, our programs manager, she just went through a major transition. She was very strict. She likes tracking. So in our programs, we teach two different ways. We teach macro-based tracking, and we teach healthy habits for people who don't like to track. So she likes tracking because for her, she understands exactly how much calories her body loses weight on, how much calories her body maintains on, and how many calories her body will gain weight on. So when you have that understanding, even if you're not tracking like literally every single thing you put in your mouth, you end up becoming aware of like, whoa, I've eaten enough today, or I've eaten too much today, or how much that looks like. So that's why I always encourage people to like to do their macros, to understand how much their body needs, because if you have that understanding, then you can kind of eyeball it better. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because it's very easy to underestimate how much you're eating. You're like, I just had steak for dinner. And you're like, I ate enough for two people. Like, it's very easy to underestimate. So it's like, once you kind of, if you're at a place where you have no understanding of your body or your numbers or anything, it's really good to calculate that or to work with somebody to calculate it for you, just to even give you an idea of like, if you track for like a week.
So it gives you like a really good baseline.
Yeah. And you can see how much food that actually is. Like in our fitness and nutrition expert program, one of their assignments is that they actually have to track their own, our students have to track their own macros for 3 days, and they have to write a 1-page review about that experience. So I was finding it so interesting to read them, because it's like, some people loved it, some people hated it, some people were like, holy crap, I can't believe how much like more I should be eating during the day and I wasn't. And then other people being like, oh my God, I'm eating way too much. Like, it's just a very interesting experiment, but it gives you that, like, at least a visual.
Mm-hmm. No, it's funny, because even for me, I was always against, and you know this, like, tracking for me was always like something that made me really nervous, because I didn't want it to make me become really obsessive. And also like having a food scale or anything really freaked me out. On this plan that I'm on right now, I have to have a food scale.
I was very curious when you were looking at this. I was like, but I also
think, how am I going to react to it? But I'm reacting to it in a way that is, it's like, I'm seeing it as, that's just it. I'm seeing it as like, this is exactly like, I'm following this. It's funny that you say the word data, because that's exactly what David, my husband, says too, is he's like, I don't think this is weird at all. He's like, it's just data. It's like, literally, you're just giving yourself the proper information to follow this plan. So I'm following it to a T, well, at least as best as I can. Like I said, yesterday I missed 2 of my 6 meals, because I was like, I'm just too full. But it's interesting, because it's knowing that this, I'm not going to weigh my food forever. I know that I won't have to. That's what's allowing me to be able to go through this process in a non-obsessive way.
Well, and that's where
it's allowing me to kind of like have like a bit of like a feeling around it. So that's my story, guys. Like, I feel like I'm telling you all about
I think this is important too. Like, even talking about maintenance over the holidays, because the idea, like a lot of us, and I know for you, I think you're like complete. You had still too many emotional issues around food and around your body to be able to track. And that's where it becomes really hard, because it can become really obsessive, and good or bad.
Yeah.
Like you, it's true. It's like, it literally, you have to be able to take the emotion out of it. Same thing we always tell people with a scale. Like, if you have any emotional feelings about that number on a scale, don't have a scale. Yeah. If it brings up any emotional feelings, good, bad, like towards yourself, put away the scale. If you can look at it like it's just data, like, okay, well, today I might be bloated, or I have my period, I'm retaining 5 pounds of water. Like, you know what I mean? If you can look at it objectively, then it's okay to have a scale. But if it makes you feel anything good or bad, get rid of it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that too, because even at the beginning of the program, in order to calculate macros, I had to figure out my weight. And I haven't weighed myself in like, I don't know, maybe like 10 years. Like, literally, I don't even remember the last time I weighed myself. I had no idea how much I weighed, no clue whatsoever. And I had to do that. And I was like, that was actually why I didn't start the program sooner. Because I had to get over the mentality of having to actually weigh myself. It took me about a week to get the courage to be able to actually step on a scale. And I don't have a scale in my house. I had to do it at the gym. And I remember I was like, I had to ask someone where the scale was, because I didn't know where it was in the gym. And And yeah, no. And the lady's like, oh, why do you want to weigh yourself? Like, why? Like, don't. And I'm, don't do it. Don't do it. And I was like, no, I need it. I need it because we have to be able to calculate this information so that I can follow my meal plan correctly. And it took me a week though, guys, to get to that mentality of being able to let go of the feeling around it and understanding that it is just a number that is helping me to be able to build the information I need to be able to reach my goal. Like it took me a week of processing that to be able to feel that way. And even though the number, it's not like, it's just a number. It's nothing. It means nothing to me, but it was a really like hard thing for me to be able to get through because I haven't weighed myself in over 10 years.
So, well, of course. Like, and I think that's for like every woman and probably a lot of people listening right now are totally relating to that. Cause I feel the same way. Like I don't weigh myself either. Yeah. And it's not, and I feel like I'm at a place though in my life because of the education and because of the knowledge that I have about food and exercise and how the body works and how like literally our bodies are insane, how you can like retain water and puffiness and like all this stuff that happens. And I get like that the number on the scale, it really is nothing. It's the, because this is what we tell our students too. We're like, guys, when you get that number on a scale, it is the like combination of all of your fat mass and all of your fat-free mass, right? So your fat-free mass is all of your water, your muscles, your blood, your hair, your bones, like your all organs. Of these things.
Yeah.
So when that number goes, and it's also your fat. So when that number goes down and everyone's celebrating, but do you know that really you're losing the thing you want, which is the fat? No, you don't know if you're losing water. You don't know if you're losing bone density, which is like, for women, like as we get older, it happens. We don't want to,
totally.
Are you losing muscle, which you want to keep, right? So it's like this weird, we celebrate this weight number, but the weight is a mixture of your fat and your fat-free mass. So when you hear it like that, it's almost like it's so logical. You're like, why do I care about that stupid number? Like, I would like to know about my fat mass, which is really hard to test. Like even the body fat percentage and the calibers, all that stuff, it's not very accurate, but that's better to me to even go for that data than it is to go for just the scale.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so weird when we get attached to this number. But I think back to the whole thing of like maintaining over the holidays, I think that's one of the things that if you're at a place where you can start to objectively look at it, I think it's really important to understand what your body actually needs to maintain. Mm-hmm. Because then you feel more in control because you have real data to make decisions on. You're not just like, oh my God, I totally blew it, even though you might not have. Or you might be like, oh my God, I totally didn't eat anything today and you ate double your macros. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, no, and that was actually going to be my next point. Like when I was talking about like how to focus on maintenance, you know, the first thing is like remembering it's a lifestyle, but then the second thing is really just understanding like, and you kind of just touched on this now, is doing some self-monitoring. And self-monitoring can be in the form of tracking what you eat. It could be, you know, what you were doing, what you were thinking and feeling before you ate that. You could like really start like analyzing your information and using it as data to help support yourself. Self-monitoring, just like writing out your workouts, making sure that you're tracking stuff. If you're someone who doesn't like tracking because you do feel like me, where it's, you're like, oh, it might make me become kind of obsessive about things. I don't really want to like go down that rabbit hole again because I've been there and I've done that and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Then that's okay, but just try to at least, if you don't even track it and write it down, at the end of your day, maybe just do a bit of self-reflection and like look back at your day and be like, okay, do I feel really good about my decisions that I made? Do I feel really good? Like, did I get my workout in? That's really important, not only for my weight loss or my maintenance, but also for my mental health. Like think about it. So switch the conversation with yourself a little bit, but still do a bit of self-monitoring because you can't change behaviors unless you know what, when, and why it's happening, right? You have to understand that. And so if you don't understand that, you can't change anything. And even though, yes, we're talking about maintenance over the holidays, it's still like if over the holidays you normally go into like, you know, crazy mode where you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to eat like every single dessert. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, screw my diet, screw my workouts, screw this and screw that. Like that is a behavior that is, if it's a past behavior, that's a behavior that if you don't recognize it, you won't know how to change it for the future. And then you'll continue to sabotage yourself every single holiday moving forward. So that's really like the biggest thing I think when it comes to maintenance is understanding and doing a bit of self-monitoring, whether it's tracking or whether it's actually just self-reflection.
Well, yeah, because I also think too, it's like, even with that, the self-monitoring, it's like I used to know with myself, I used to have like extremes, right? Like I always call it like the pendulum would go like, would mm-hmm. swing from being like super, super, super strict to being like, screw it, totally out of control. It's like I was going from like hot to cold, high to low all the time.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people over the holidays, that brings up that feeling, right? Because it's like there's a lot of events and there's a lot of things that are out of your, like you're not eating at home a lot, you're at parties, mm-hmm. things like that. But even seeing that behavior in my life, and it also reflected, you know, having anxiety, being really high, and feeling depressed, feeling really low, like there were so many extremes for everything in my life. And when I started to recognize that behavior and trying to, of course, now it's not just like completely balanced in the middle, but trying to realize that it only needs to kind of swing, you know, an inch either way. So even over the holidays, yes, things are going to go towards maybe my little wild cat side, but I don't need to go force down that road. You know what I mean? And it's like, that takes time and it takes self-awareness. And that's why, like you were saying, the self-monitoring or the tracking mm-hmm. numbers or the, like, just getting clear on, like,
just the self-reflection.
Yeah, clear on the things that you're actually doing and taking that moment to look at your behavior. Because, like you said, you can't change things you don't acknowledge. And that includes, like, you know, whether it be in your life, your weight, your health, your business, your relationship. Like, and that's why I like numbers, because it gives you clear-cut changes. Like, not necessarily a number on the scale, but, like, having that data of being like, okay, I know what
like I did this many, or I did this many steps today, or I did my workout. And like, you know, like I use an app now through my program where I track my workouts, and it's just like this self-satisfaction thing when I'm like, can just hit the button to put the check mark to be like, that's done. I know that that's done for the day. And it's like, it truly is like this satisfying feeling inside of me. And like, that's just how I track things. I don't track my how much weight I'm using. I don't track how many reps I'm doing. I don't track all that stuff because that is getting too detailed for me. That's just, I know where it can lead me to, but I track that. I'm like, okay, did it, done, move on with that next part of my day. I know that if at the end of the day I look back, I'm like, okay, I got my workout in. It makes me feel really good about where I'm at and where I'm going. Of course, I'm not on a maintenance program right now, guys. I am on a program where I'm trying to reach a certain goal, but even if you're on maintenance, it's still like have specific goals for yourself that you can then track. Like, and it doesn't have to be big ones. It can literally be like, they say that there's actually this quote, the NWCR reports that 90% of people who keep weight off, so who maintain, if they've lost weight or they've reached their goal and they want to keep it off, they move at least an hour a day. And most common though, but the most common movement is just walking. So when I'm saying to you guys, tracking stuff, it doesn't have to be like intense, crazy workouts and all this kind of stuff. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Even if you're just setting specific goals, daily goals of like, I'm going to walk 5,000 steps a day, 10,000 steps a day, that kind of stuff where it's stuff that is a little bit more easy. That's how you maintain. Are there any other tips, Laura, that you can share of like how, because I know that you're in maintenance mode right now. So are there any other things outside of like your food that you do to help you stay in that maintenance mode?
Well, I do have a Fitbit, so I do try to hit a step goal. And that's something too, like it is something for sure as well. Like you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So when I do look down at my Fitbit and I'm like, you've walked 250 steps today. I'm like, we gotta get moving. You know what I mean? Like, my workouts are non-negotiable. Like they're non-negotiable. And that's something that, like, we're saying in the beginning about being on a program or off a program, like, because it's not only for me about maintaining, but it's also about the things that's an outlet for me. That's a time that, like, I know it's, like, self-care for me. And if I'm not working out, I'm not a happy person.
So, do you also find, too, and I know for me this is the case, that it's when you start making your workouts negotiable, when you start skipping workouts, or if you start missing things, it's so much easier to just continue to miss versus just staying on track. Like, and I know that with a lot of our clients, we've talked about this too. I've talked about this where they'll just find like, it's like, oh, but if I don't do my workout on Monday, like I'll do it Tuesday. And then it's so much easier to just like, cause it's easier, guys. It's easier to just sit on your couch and watch Netflix than it is to go to the gym. Everybody feels the same way. Everybody. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. I don't really know. But like when you're walking to the gym or you're driving, you're like, another hour.
But that's one thing, you know,
when you finish, that's the feeling that you're like, okay, good. I feel great about it.
We were talking about this. There's a book called Girl, Wash Your Face, and it's by Rachel Hollis. And it's, I really like this book. And a lot of it's talking about, you know, like mistakes that she's made and lessons to being like a more like stronger, legit woman, right? Like mm-hmm. a legit woman. But, so one of the things though, I loved it. I love this part that she was talking about breaking commitments to yourself. And she's like, do not break commitments to yourself. If you tell yourself, I'm going to work out and I'm going to the gym, as soon as you break that commitment to yourself, you're not just giving up on yourself. You're telling yourself it's okay to not show up for yourself. Like with your friends or your family members or your kids, would you say to them, yeah, I'll be at the school recital, and then you don't show up? And then you're like, oh yeah, I'll be at parent teacher day, and you don't show up. Or like, I'm going to meet you for dinner, and you don't show up. What happens to friends like that? You stop calling them. Your kids don't have good relationships with you. Like all this stuff. It's the same with yourself. Like when you, and I took that really seriously.
If you don't show up for yourself, you won't have a good relationship with yourself.
Well, and you're setting yourself up to fail every single time. You're setting yourself up to quit. And like life is hard. And like, you know, I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and there was one I was listening to. It was actually with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he was talking.
We love Joe Rogan.
We love Joe Rogan. He was talking to, he's got a lot of great nutritionists on there too. I can't remember who he was talking to, but he was talking about the idea of discipline. And Joe Rogan gets very upset about how undisciplined people are. But
he gets really fired up about that.
No, but I get it though, because even hearing, I relate to that because I'm a pretty disciplined person, but it's like, there's times where I'm not disciplined. But I also own the fact that the results of my choices of being undisciplined are wet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but it takes
totally
to get up and go to the gym. And it takes commitment to yourself to show up for yourself, and you can't make excuses for it. Like, that's one thing I find, like, we've got to get out of the habit of making excuses. And I hear it all the time. It drives me insane. And when I hear myself doing it, I stop myself now. Like I literally, and that's another
me
thing
too.
When you're asking about maintenance, it's like, if I start saying, oh, I skipped the gym today because work got crazy, I'm like, nope, shut up, Laura, go to the gym now. Like, just don't even start giving, because that's called life. And we all have choices, and you choose what's a priority to you. So I was like, nope.
And guys, I mean, obviously there are some extreme scenarios where like you cannot, like you can't make your commitments, you know what I mean? But like those should be far and few between.
Most of them are actually far and few between. Like a lot of them.
No, but I'm just saying they are far and few between, but like, I know, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's certain scenarios where like, if you have like, if a family member's ill or something,
obviously,
or something, but I mean, but we mean more like if it's just like, oh my gosh, work is going off the rails today, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's almost like, in my mind, that's almost the best time to just be like, shut it down and go to the gym, because that's when you like recharge, because you're like, oh man, I'm still gonna now work till like midnight tonight because everything went off the rails. I need to get some more energy or else I'm gonna just be a zombie going through the motions anyways.
But it's also like, in the book, she was talking about the whole concept too of like, so the example she was using was that she had gone for dinner with girlfriends, and then she came home after dinner and was on the treadmill because she had made a promise to herself, she was training for a marathon, that she wouldn't miss her running time. But she went for dinner, and then her friends were like, oh my God, like, don't you think that's a bit obsessive? Or like, I can't believe that you're, but she's like, but I made that commitment to myself. So like, so some people in their minds, it could be like, oh my God, that's a negative behavior. You're too obsessive. You can't relax. But on the other side, other people look at that as like, if you saw an athlete who was training for the Olympics and they were training late at night, would you think that's crazy? Or like for us building a business, if I'm working till 2 a.m, would you think that's crazy? So it's like, I think that there's this, we've got into this culture and we've got into these habits of making excuses okay. And we've got to stop doing it. Like, cause we do it to ourselves and we're letting ourselves down. We're not showing up for ourselves in a way that I think we really should. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, try, like, even if you just start to recognize the commitments you break to yourself, like, and there's a lot that people do. Mm-hmm. Even last night, I went for a run last night at 9 o'clock in -3 degree weather because I was like, I didn't get my workout in. And I'm like, no, like, it's my workout day. I can't skip it. And cause I can't switch my days. Like, I work out, usually I do like 4 days at the gym, and then I do like 1 day cardio outside, and then I do 2 active recovery days. So I walk and I make sure I always hit my steps. But when I don't miss a day, I usually will push it to another day, but I can't this week because I've got plans. So I'm like, no, you can't miss it. And then I just felt so much better once I just did it. I was like, okay.
Oh, no, I know. Same thing with me on Monday. I had the same. My Monday got all messed up because my daughter was not feeling well on Sunday night. And so she slept with me. So when she sleeps with me, we've just started this co-sleeping thing, guys. This totally.
Danger zone.
No, just sometimes. Only when she's not feeling well. So she wasn't feeling well. She came and slept with us. And she sleeps. So I woke up with her head on my pillow and her feet on her dad's pillow. So she was laying right across like the whole upper part of our bed sideways. But like, I can't sleep properly when she's in bed with me because she's like usually moving a lot. She's kicking me, this and that, whatever. Fine. But so I was really tired on Monday. So I didn't get up to go to the gym because I usually try to get up at like 7 and go to the gym before anybody's up. And then I get back home and then I start my day at 9, like I start working kind of thing. So I just try to keep it scheduled that way. So it makes my life a lot easier to have everything done for me before everything starts happening in my household, you know?
Yeah.
And I missed it and I was like, oh my gosh. And then we just had like meetings after meetings and like all this stuff happening. And I was like, I don't know when I'm going to get this done. And I was just like, no, I'm just stopping. Like literally it was like, this is important. I can't move my days. The program I'm on, I'm committed to this.
Yeah.
And I've got to go. And it's just like, shut it down. Like you have to make it a priority because if you don't, like you said, it's so easy to make excuses. It's so easy for me to be like, I'm tired. I barely slept last night. I don't want to do this. I want to eat pizza because I'm tired and I want those, yeah, like, you know, that I'm craving junk food because of this. No, I still ate on plan. I still did my workout and I just was tired.
I think the major thing is just trying to figure out, like, making sure you're in that balance space where you're not being obsessive. And I think that that's the hard thing and it doesn't happen overnight. Like, I know for me, getting to this place where I know what works for my body and not making excuses for myself and keeping my commitments. Like 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been like that. It wasn't even in my awareness. So maybe like if you're listening to this right now and it might be triggering you, you might be like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, that sounds really harsh. But it could be because that's something that you're doing and you need to change. Right. Yeah. Like
it's something that you know deep down that you need to make the shift in order to be able to like either reach your goals or continue to have maintenance in your life and to make your maintenance a little bit easier because
you need to have discipline in your life to like, and that's why every, like, if you read those books, like The Habits of Successful people who are successful all do the same things. They all do the same things.
Yeah.
And like that's why even with the whole thing of the idea of getting up early in the morning, the reason though why a lot of people who are successful get up earlier in the morning is because they end up getting more stuff done. You know what I mean? Like, because they also get their self-care in.
That's why I do it.
Yeah. But it's like, it's one of those things where like, if you, you know, if you have flexibility and you're like a nighttime person and you like being up till 4 o'clock in the morning, even though it's not good for your cortisol levels and your sleep patterns, but it's like, those are things that you can have more flex with. But a lot of people, it's because that's the time in their day where they can actually do something for either getting their work out of the way or getting their self-care in or getting their workouts in or like eating their breakfast or whatever it is that is part of their self-care. That's why they're more successful. It's not because, like, I think there's still this mentality for a lot of people that they look at someone and they think it's easier for them than it is for someone else. Like, like I hear a lot of judgment, you know, in women world, it's like people will either be like, oh, because you don't have kids, it's a lot easier. Or because you don't own your own business, it's a lot easier. Or because you'd like this, it's a lot easier. Like, it's like, no, it's the same thing for everybody. No one can do your workouts for you. No one can put food in your mouth for you unless you're like super rich and you have a hot guy feeding you. Like, you still, it's not easier for anyone. You still have to make those decisions and you still have to put in the work. It's just, at the end of the day, that's it.
Exactly. Exactly. So just to like wrap this up. So as we said, like, I mean, I know we were kind of a little bit all over the place, but I think it's an important conversation to have. But, you know, when we're talking about the holidays and we're focusing on the holidays, a lot of times people think, okay, well, this is a great time to start a new goal, or this is where I'm going to start to lose weight. And like, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. Like I said, I'm on a plan right now. I just started it a week ago. And everyone thinks it's crazy to do that during the holidays. But for me, it was just like, there's no good time. It's just time. It's time to start. I'm tired of putting it off. It's time for me to begin. And I was mentally and emotionally prepared to do this. So I took advantage of that decision and said, I'm going to do this right now. I'm committed. Now is the time for me. And it's actually easier for me during the holidays because I'm not as busy. Like, I'm busy with personal stuff, but I'm not as busy with like work kind of like is busy, but it's like, I don't know. I have a little bit more space to like get into the routine, I find. Mm-hmm. But if you are someone who is focusing on maintenance, remember over the holidays, that's cool. And like, we encourage it 100% because it's easier to just focus on maintaining where you're at. Just don't give everything up. Don't throw it all on the wayside and just be like, screw it. It's the holidays. I'm just going to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and deal with it in January. Because when you deal with it in January, you're going to be 10 steps backwards. So don't put yourself in that position because it's not worth it.
Yeah, like if you're already working out four days a week, just keep that commitment that I'm still going to work out 4 days a week. Your workouts might look different because you might be at somebody else's house or whatever, but if you're already committed to 4 days a week as it is, keep that 4 days a week. Like
And if you're already eating a certain style, like if you already have sort of a certain, what do you call it? You don't call it style. You call it, there's a certain word that you use when you talk about like discipline.
Like dietary strategy?
Strategy is the word I was thinking of. Yeah. So I like that word. I like the way that you say it. That's why I was asking. So but if you already have this strategy for how you eat, try your best to maintain that through the holidays as well, because you're going to have moments where it's going to shift. And yes, there are going to be things, but listen to last week's podcast when we talk about nutrition strategies for the holidays that will help you try to figure out how to maintain that. But really, it's just about, this is your lifestyle. This is not a diet. Switch your mental focus. Don't think of it as, oh, this is just part-time. This is your life. So make sure that it fits with your lifestyle and it fits with your routine and it still can fit over the holidays. And then the second thing is, do some sort of tracking, whether it's, you know, a full-on tracking system or whether it's just self-reflection every day, if that makes you a little overwhelmed or whatever, but pay attention, because if you're not paying attention, that's when things go sideways. So pay attention to what you have going on so that you can make sure that you're committing and staying committed to yourself.
Love it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening and happy holidays.
I know I'm freezing. I'm like, why is Canada so cold?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, today we're like, I'm just looking at the calendar right now and we're a week away from Christmas, guys. So yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah. So happy holidays to everyone. And of course, if you want to check out any more information, if you want to learn more strategies, so whether it's dietary strategies, nutrition strategies, fitness strategies, etc., check us out at fitchicksacademy.com, where you can read about our upcoming programs. We're starting in 2019. We have our Fitness and Nutrition Expert Certification Program, as well as our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert Program. And we also have a challenge starting in January. So if you are thinking, okay, I'm going to maintain for the holidays, but come January, I want to go full on and I want to really start hitting some new goals and have a new strategy in place, make sure to check us out at fitchicks.ca, where you can read more about our 28-day challenge.
Yeah.
Right. So thanks everyone for listening. Have yourself an amazing day and we'll chat soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.